Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
Good day. Please remember to call us after the half an hour. We will answer your questions. We will confirm your decisions. And we will play with you. The number is 646-716-9663. Today, I have a spiritual master with me. Her name is Brooke Steele. Brooke has learned from very powerful masters from different locations on the planet Earth. She is funny, strongly connected, a master of articulation, and fun to be with, and intense in your own process. Welcome, Brooke.
Thank you, Star, for inviting me to come be with your listeners today.
You're welcome. So what would you like to talk about this evening?
Well, this evening, I think what would be really great and useful to actually talk about is holding space. I find a lot of people refer to holding space, and they don't really understand what it means. So I thought it'd be great if we actually cover what it means and give some in-depth practical use on how to actually connect in to hold space, not just for healing, but also for being connected into relationships and events and all kinds of other different ways.
Great. Could you explain it to me, Brooke, please? And I'll interject here and then and again.
Okay.
What is holding space?
Well, I've got a great story. For me, for holding space, the first time I ever heard that term was from you. And my inner child was sitting there thinking, is that kind of like trying to grasp air? I couldn't really get it to start off with. And I sat in this room and watched you work. And it was amazing to me because what I was seeing from a person teaching was actually the corners of the room were held strong as you were teaching the class. And you literally were holding the space, the entire room for people. Now, that's actually from a state from teaching. But when we talk about just holding space, let's say if I'm a healer and I'm working on a client, there's a different way of holding space for that versus, say, I'm having a deep conversation with someone and they need to be heard. There are many different ways of holding space. So which piece would you like to start off with first?
Well, I guess I want to start out with it being connected, being clear, and being grounded. That piece is like you can't hold space if you're not here and if you're not clear. So to me, it's really important to take the past, the future, what's going to happen, you know, what are we having for lunch, what happened yesterday or on the car ride over, and really, really, really focus on the now. So that would be for healing and teaching and being in relationship or coaching or counseling. That would be a primary role is to be here. What would you think would be another role about that, Brooke?
Along with being fully present, connected is such a big piece, really being connected, not just connected into your higher self or your guides and angels, but being fully connected into the earth. I talk about enlightenment for people. It's in light, in man. You have to be in your body to actually be fully connected. So you're having a physical experience. You have to be fully here. And when we also talk about fully present, we have a tendency, being multidimensional beings, that we can actually not just have our thoughts in all kinds of different places, but we can actually have different parts of our bodies, different higher bodies, in different areas as well. So when you're holding space, you want to actually call all of your bodies back into your form for you to actually be fully present.
Good. I think that's really, really important. One of the things I do when I'm holding space is everything comes through the space. So if I hear a fire engine and we're in the middle of conversation or teaching, I go, and this is about the healing going on inside of you. If a baby cries, I say even the baby wants to speak up at this piece. If a picture falls off of the wall, I would ask somebody or the class or the person, what is going on with your picture of the world or our picture of the world? When I hold space, everything you can hear, see, smell, and you know, sometimes when you're in a room and somebody's cooking something luscious in another room and you start smelling that baking part, and I go, oh, that smells like grandmother or home, and what is that, does that bring you to a place? So holding space is not ignoring everything that happens. It is bringing that into the space so somebody doesn't worry if the fire engine's coming here or when are they going to get to taste that yummy bread or the brownies. And it's also about bringing all energies, acknowledging them into the space, whether you're having a deep conversation with your significant others or teaching. It is amazing how many people will hear something and spend 5 minutes trying to figure out what is going on.
Absolutely. I had an experience where I was at a funeral and I was holding space at this celebration for this person's life. And in the back, I kid you not, there was a three-year-old little boy running in the back. And literally, he was yelling in his like little garbled voice saying, I'm free. I don't hurt anymore. I don't hurt anymore. And literally, he was channeling the energy of the actual woman who had graduated. And no one was paying attention. So it's pretty amazing that when you actually are in your body, you can hear everything. The universe is going to respond to you. It's going to answer you, and it's going to give you messages. You just have to have eyes to see and ears to hear. And it's very playful. It's not always deeply serious, too. You know, God's got a great sense of humor.
Mm-hmm. I think that's important, too. The other piece for me about holding space is I don't want crap in my space. I don't want a ton of books. I don't want cardboard boxes. I don't want tissues on the floor. When I'm holding space, I want it to be as impeccable and as pure as it can be. And so my ideas, my heart energy is clear. Please don't take somebody off to discipline them, criticize them. Tell them you love them and don't take them into some place that looks like the Hoarders.
Absolutely. That's part of that brilliant thing on sacred space, which, you know, one of the teachings you have, I think, is so fabulous, that sacred space is proportional to the exact amount of clean, clear floor space times the energetic width that a healer can hold. That's one of the foundational pieces for our particular form of healing. And it is so true. You have to have clean, clear space. If you have tons of stuff all over while you're trying to, what will happen is it will actually mess with the energetic fields of your body or their body. You'll try to hide things. You won't be able to actually get everything you need. Another big piece in holding space with people is not only just being centered and present, but actually really listening to the person as well. And part of that is checking your ego at the door. A lot of times I find that as a healer, especially when you're first starting out, you're so excited to hold space for someone that you want to interject and tell them exactly what's going on wrong with them and how they need to fix this and so on and so forth. and it cuts off the ability for them to have their process. And holding space is so important to let somebody actually have the opportunity to do the work themselves.
You mean I can't finish people's sentences? I can't tell them what to do? I can't be psychic and know how that what they're going to say? Really, really important, because sometimes they have to hear it when they're telling it to somebody else versus what their voice in their head or their thought voice says. So when they put it into your aura, the whole sentence, the whole story, it changes. It changes when the voice goes in their own aura. So that's why you will see here people tell the same story over and over. And the more times they tell it is a measure to the depth of how the situation affected them in their life and to how much energy they need to absorb, intake, to bring that up into a place where it is equal to the amount of energy of everyday life, where it isn't a drama, it isn't a wound, it isn't a cataclysm. So sometimes you're going to have to listen to people tell things 40 or 50 times in a period of 2 or 3 years. And holding space is not rolling your eyes, looking under your fingernails, or picking various parts of your body.
Absolutely. It's about being a witness for a person. It's about holding the space for them to go through their process. You're literally holding space for them to connect in with the divine, to actually go back into their body, connect in with Earth, and find a space to actually be healed. Our job in that holding space is to be the clearest, cleanest witness possible. So in holding space, another big thing that I find is really important is not only just allowing them to speak and say what they need to say, their story, but sometimes they just need to hear it repeated. So you can literally just go, okay, thank you for sharing that with me. What I heard you say was this, 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 and this. What I heard you say was you loved your dad, he abused you, but you really hated your mother because you thought she was supposed to protect you. And sometimes even just having somebody say out loud what you just said is a key piece for somebody to finally let it go.
It's important. Then their words are in your vibration. Their story is taken out of the I, me, my, mine and put in another level of vibration. And sometimes, and I don't know why, in coaching and counseling and doing readings, sometimes people need permission. And permission is not something that a king or a queen or somebody way up there in the hierarchy gives you. Permission just says, you're safe. You're safe here. I give you permission to cry. And sometimes just those words giving you permission, because somebody somewhere said, boys don't cry. Somebody says, put your big girl panties on. Somebody said something to them, and 25, 40 years later, they're still listening. So not always, but when you hold space, sometimes you say, you're safe here. It's okay to cry. I give you permission to express your emotions. Sometimes, but not necessarily always.
True. For the holding space for me, I always say, you know, you're guiding the energy, you're holding the space, you're making sure that they're nurtured and they're supported and that they're well protected. But some people will actually use the energy of everything has to be safe. You have to have this volume when you talk to me. Everything has to be pink, where they actually will use that type of energy to try to control things so that they don't have to get real. So
okay.
Sometimes
and,
when...
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is they'll distract, and you'll say, tell me about your relationship with your father. And they'll go, I was born in Detroit in 1939 on a cold winter's night. And they'll say, but it's not as bad as Julie's father. Or they'll come off the point. And when you hold space, whenever they wander, you need to bring them back to whatever you're holding space for them to talk, for them to heal, for them to learn. And if you're teaching a class on healing, it's okay to tangent a little bit. It's okay to teach a universal law in there. But it's not okay to talk about the news or fashion or something that's way out there, because people use that to hide, to let go of the progress that they've already made. So stay within that topic or that range. What else, Brooke?
Other pieces in holding space. I find it really useful that when I'm going to go into a session, before I actually work on someone, that I will make sure that I clear my own energies first, and then I ask that I be incredibly clear, that I hold the highest level of light for that person, and that I am encompassed with humility. Not humiliation, humility. Because one of the big pieces that sometimes we have as healers when we're holding space is that we can get very egotistical and make it about us instead of about the actual healee when you're holding space. So it's really important to be clear and to make sure that you're holding a space of humility, because you're honestly getting the opportunity to hold sacred space for someone, for their healing. And that's huge.
And people have all sorts of rituals. They wash their hands, they say a prayer, they anoint themselves with oil, they light a candle, they touch a precious gemstone or mineral. People have all sorts of little rituals that they do that pulls them into that sacred space. And, you know, you've been doing something like that for 20 years and you forget to wash your hands or you don't put the oil on one or two times, that's fine. But please remember, whatever the ritual looks like, really what it is, it's an alignment of your clarity with God and Earth. So keep that up. Keep that little ritual up, because that clears you to hold the space.
Absolutely. Now let's talk a little bit about holding space when we're having a conversation with someone. So let's say that somebody feels like they're a bit disempowered and they're wanting to have a conversation with their mate, and that they don't feel like their mate can ever really listen to them. So how can they actually hold their space and converse with this person, not just converse, but actually really connect with them? What would be your suggestions for them?
Number one, always use I statements. I feel you don't love me. Not you don't love me anymore. I am disappointed. Not you disappoint me. My energy is focused on our lack of togetherness. Not we're never together. So when you want to hold space and be in a conversation with whoever you're with, be responsible for your feelings. I, me, my, mine, own it. Like you're
absolutely
going to own your space.
Absolutely. So let's say somebody has an action that they did. When you do this, I feel unempowered. Or when you do this, I feel thoroughly inspired. Yeah, definitely claim your own feelings. Another thing around holding space that I think is really important is when you're actually out there doing public speaking or teaching as well. I think that that's a big piece as well to talk about for holding space. And that goes a little bit into sacred space as well. So I'd love to cover that a little bit if I can.
Go ahead. We've got 10 minutes to the break. By the way,
great.
Brooke,
yes.
I hear you're teaching a real cool class. Can you give me a minute about it and where it is and what's going on?
Absolutely. I'm teaching a 3-day retreat in August 16th through the 18th, and it's called Expanding Your Awareness. It's going to be held at the Land of Medicine Buddha, which is in the Redwoods in California, about an hour outside of San Francisco. And I teach this class once a year. It changes each time, but it's really set on actually clearing out a tremendous amount of patterns that you might have, clearing it all the way down to the genetic levels, giving you a practical way of being able to be fully empowered. And I do a ton of downloads. So that by
the
time that
you
get out
there,
you're
amazing.
Great.
What's the website that we can find out about that?
My website is creationcenter.org.
Creation Center, that's beautiful. Okay,
oh,
let's go back to public speaking.
Perfect.
Tell me about that.
Let's say that you're going to be going out and you're going to be speaking at an expo, okay? So how do you actually have holding space and creating sacred space, or even as a guest speaker in, let's say, a Fortune 500 company? So let's say you're going to go up and you're going to talk. You already know how to hold your space, which is you're cleared, you're centered, you're grounded, you're connected. Now you're going to pay attention to the room that you're going in. You're going to feel the quality of the air. You're going to pay attention to the people that are in the room, how they're interacting with the other people, how they're interacting with the speakers. You're doing this before you're going in and speaking, obviously. You're going to notice as much as you can about how that place makes you feel. And then to actually set the sacred space for myself, what I like to do is I will actually send light through the entire room, and I will literally connect every corner of the room that I can in with the energy that I've already set up for myself before I've actually had a chance to talk. So if I know I'm going to be teaching in class or talking, several days before that, I'm actually building the energy for it, and I'm kind of storing it in a little bit of a bubble. So I'll send that bubble energy into the room and actually put it throughout the entire room, spreading it into the corners. And then I do a big Mobius throughout the entire room so that I can actually make sure that the energy is connected with every person I'm speaking with, so that I'm able to be of service and can connect with them. Some people you only connect with for just a moment. Other people, you have their intention the entire time. But it's important to actually be able to have them be able to connect with you vibrationally in order to actually be able to reach them and be of service.
That sounds wonderful. I do a couple of other things, too. Well, first thing I do is I scan the energies in the room. And, of course, being at an expo, people keep adding. They don't always come right at the beginning of class. And I find the person I'm least attracted to, the person that looks boring, the person who I have a judgment about, and I send light to that person, and you will find that the person you least attracted to in the room, once you bond with that person, everybody in the room bonds with you. So you get a good eye contact, say, wow, this is the person who's going to teach me because I have a judgment about it, because this is the person I find the most boring. This is the person I find that doesn't look like they should be here. And I send energy to that person, and I watch that person. The other thing is in my throat, I make sure that I have a bright blue energy in my throat chakra. And sometimes I put a megaphone cone in my throat, and I'm about 4 feet into it, and it's as big as the room, because microphones fail. People come in who can't hear so well. And sometimes when your throat chakra is amplified, people won't hear you, but they'll get the concept, they'll get the feeling, they'll connect to what you are saying. So I think that's a real important thing to do as a speaker. What else, Brooke?
Another piece that I didn't say about that was speaking, and those are great points too. I love that we're talking about this. I hope people are really enjoying it. Is also another piece for me for when I'm actually running that energy, I make sure that I'm doing it from a space of how best can I be of service to these people, make sure that I actually impact their life. I don't focus on what I'm going to get out of it. It's all about being of service. I found that a lot of people who are going out and trying to go and create a healing practice or create a speaking practice for themselves are usually doing it trying to get people to come to them instead of being of service. And when you're of service, your light is fully expanded instead of the grasping energy. And when you grasp, you contract your light, and it doesn't attract anyone, and it also breaks apart the way that you're holding the space for people.
Exactly. The last thing I want to hear is a commercial. Oh, in the middle of my book, you'll find out how to do ba-choo-ba-choo-boo. And if you buy the stuff at the back of the room, you will get the grand prize, the golden ring. And people get up and they give you one commercial. To be of service, you must give them techniques. You must give them something that they can choose to instantly start using or not using. And I guess when I get those little cards at the end, the evaluation cards at the end of my speech, usually the greatest criticism I get is you give too much information. And I don't give them enough time to integrate. Please, it is okay to mention your website, write it on the board. It is okay to mention the names of your books, except when you have 9 or 10. And it's okay to plug yourself. But please, sacred space is not a commercial. Teaching or lecturing is not a commercial. You will turn off more people than you ever realize if it's all about the money. And like Brooke says, it has to be about the service. We got a couple more minutes before we go to station break. What would you like to say, Brooke?
I think it would be fun for us to give them that energetic download of moving a form of chocolate into protein in your body.
I was going to save that for after the break. So I'm going to save that for after the half-hour break. And I'd like to just make a statement. There are two types of teachings. There is the caught teaching and the taught teaching. The taught teaching is what you learn from books, you memorize, and the caught teaching is when you sit in the presence or the aura of someone who knows something, many things, and your conscious mind handles 5 things plus or minus for a minute, and your subconscious mind handles 10,000. So what happens is when you sit in the presence of somebody, you get caught teachings. The more you raise your vibrational level, the more you raise your frequency, the riper you become for these caught teachings to come into your conscious mind. We knew it in the old days. We would apprentice somebody, and they would stay for a year and a day, unusual amount of time. They would sweep the floors and bring lunch, and then after a year was up, they'd put them on the bench, and wham, 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 they'd cut a perfect diamond, or they'd lay a perfect brick wall, because for a year they stayed in that presence. They got all the techniques. They got all the information. So what a download is, and what Brooke and I are talking about here, is a download is when the master picks a specific energy and concentrates on giving that to the audience, the group, the class, or the person they're with. So that is a download or a caught teaching. And take a deep breath. So when you're with people, you're constantly giving downloads. We put pictures of masters up. We look into their eyes to get a download. We have pictures of our mentor, our grandparents, somebody we never met, a role model. We get downloads. It's important for you to understand that education is not only words and books. It's a way to be, and it's how energy flows.
Brilliant.
And take a deep breath. We're coming up here soon to the commercial break. And I'd like to remind everybody to call us. Our number is 646-716-9663. And you can ask us a question.
You're listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. Once again, Star Fuentes.
Oh, remember, you've got a question, an intuitive question. You want an answer. You want something confirmed. Call us at 646-716-9663. And Brooke and I will be chatting till we get your phone calls. So, the download. So, what a download is it's energy received by the teacher, through a picture, through the radio, through a video, through a book. For example, if you look at a book by Alice Bailey, the book has run sentences that go for, you know, one page is a paragraph. You know that her downloads are really, really intense, and they're between every word. And sometimes the downloads come by the sound of your voice. Now, I want you to pick your favorite chocolate, dark chocolate, milk chocolate, fondue chocolate, chocolate syrup, a great candy bar. And I want you to have the taste, the feel, the smell, and the sight of your favorite chocolate. Now, I want you to imagine that you're biting into your chocolate, and on the top of your tongue, the roof of your mouth, you can taste that smoothness, that specific chocolate taste. And swallow and taste the aftertaste. And that energy rolls down your throat into your esophagus, through a valve, and there is chocolate in your stomach. Now, it's a twist. We twist the molecules. Then we turn the chocolate molecule upside down, and we add amino acids, and more. So we twist the chocolate, turn the chocolate upside down, add amino acids, and more. For me, my stomach isn't that little, but my stomach, it makes like a little, like a swallowing, a little inward feeling, and I know we're not supposed to have nerves in our stomach, but it makes a little inward squeeze when I eat that chocolate and I turn it into protein. So can you repeat that for me, Brooke?
Okay. Energetically, I'm going to walk you through eating this chocolate and having it change into protein in your stomach. That way it feeds all the muscles in your body, giving you energy, not just feeding your higher bodies with this vibration of chocolate, but feeding your physical form as well. So imagine your favorite piece of chocolate and have it in your mouth, whether you like to sit there and have it melt in your mouth or chew on it, and feel your body swallowing it and going into your stomach and feel the swirl of energy happening. Feel the shift of the chocolate as it goes down to those subatomic structures, Then it moves up back to the molecules and see it flip over and watch as amino acid chains keep adding on and on into this until it hits a protein.
And then add a little bit more because there's some other things, and add more, and then it becomes protein. Now, you know and I know that somewhere on this planet Earth is someone who's a breatharian. And a breatharian only lives on air. And we have people who live on water. And we have masters that can take any substance, be it beer, be whatever judgment you have to any substance, drop it. And they take this substance and they digest the substance. And that substance supplies their body with all the proteins, carbohydrates, whatever their body needs. You know, energy follows thought. Action follows energy, and manifestation follows that. So let's start with chocolate, and let's start turning that into protein. Now, I have a suggestion. Don't wait an hour after you've eaten the chocolate. As you're eating the chocolate, after you've swallowed it, give it a couple of seconds to hit that stomach, and then do your magic. You may not remember my twist, my turn. You must remember the amino acids, and you must remember add more. But that molecule, and we've all had seen those chemistry sets where, you know, the professor puts on a hydrogen and then an oxygen and then another hydrogen, and then we look at these carbon atoms and carbohydrates and carbo whatever, and there's these big models of one little molecule. Your brain knows more than your mind knows. Your brain knows the exact molecular structure of all the different proteins. Your brain knows everything about nature. What is filtered to your mind? Oh, wow, that's just a small piece. So change your chocolate into protein. Now, I'm just going to be quiet for 1 minute here or less. I'm going to take this awful-looking Godiva chocolate. Dark chocolate. I'm going to eat it, and I'm going to give you the download. Okay, you got it. And we'll take a phone call whenever we get one. So let's talk a little bit more about sacred space. How do you make a space sacred, Brooke?
For me, I would like to talk about my healing room. I love having sacred space in my healing room in and of itself. And I started off with actually the colors of the room themselves. So I chose a deep, dark green carpet to actually create a deep healing. And I colored and painted the walls to actually support the energy of that as well. So I actually started from the actual design of the room out. Now, if you don't have the opportunity to actually change out carpet and being able to paint in that, you can still create sacred space with intention and by actually bringing in certain elements into the room to actually hold the space with you and for you. So for me, I find that actually having representations of the elements is a huge piece. I actually have an altar set up in my room, and I think that it's a really great thing to have. You can choose to do that for yourself or not, but I do have an altar in my room. I have always on it, I have a bowl of water with salt in it, and that would represent, of course, the element of water, and the salt represents the element of earth. I always have a candle going, which represents fire and air. And on my altar, you'll actually see pictures of the teachers that I studied with, including a picture of myself honoring my own light. Now, some people might think, oh my gosh, how could you feel comfortable doing that? I would actually challenge you to do that, because you have to actually be able to honor yourself for your own light. And it'll actually allow your higher self to actually bring more of the wisdom from your soul into the room for you. It's pretty amazing. I also make sure the room is clean and clear. It has to be dusted. It has to be vacuumed. I don't bring anything in that I can't actually use to be of service to someone. A lot of the times I will actually bring in pieces into the room and keep them that have been given to me as gifts from someone. Sometimes it's because the vibration of it is incredibly high and it holds the space of the room. Other times a person will give you something and you know that they need healing, and because they gave it to you with their whole full heart, you can actually put it into an area in your room where you actually designate to actually send additional healing in that way. And that way you can be of service. You know, in different countries, which I think is pretty interesting, they even offer up little pieces of fruit or honey, offering it up to their ancestors or to the divine to actually say thank you for even bringing in more energy and more light into the space as well. So those are some of the things that I use for sacred space.
Okay, let's take the phone call.
Hi, you're on with
Brooke.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Rachel. Hi, Rachel. Do you have a question for us tonight?
I do. So I have a couple teachings about chocolate, and one of them, and this also goes for red meat too, but one of them is that chocolate is actually closes your chakras and, like, kind of blocks you off, and, like, that the same goes with red meat. Now, can you explain to me why some people would say that, or how that would counteract what...
I'll tell you a couple of stories. First of all, I'm going to tell you, look at your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Your teeth do not have enough enamel on it to be a vegetable eater. Any animal that is a vegetable eater, they have quadruple the amount of enamel on our teeth. And I believe that we were created to eat everything with discretion. And my teeth tell me I'm supposed to eat both meat and vegetables. What your spiritual teaching may be is that meat brings you down. I can tell you that after removing or helping God take a huge tumor out of somebody, I am stripped of amino acids. I need to eat two things, chocolate and meat. And I want you to follow what your body says. Now, a couple 20 years, two decades, I was a vegetarian. The rest of the decades, I ate everything. So remember, there's going to be all sorts of teachings. I had a guru friend who made fun of me many, many, many times. And he has two or three ashrams in the world, and he used to tease me about eating chocolate. And then he made a special trip to India to study with an alchemist. And this was one of the last generational alchemists left that truly, truly could change energies. And he went and he saw him, and the guy was like 79 or 80 years old, and he looked 50. And after he was talking to him and learning about alchemy and energy and interviewing him, he says, "Why do you look so young?" He said, "My friend, eat chocolate. It will make you young. Chocolate is an antioxidant. Chocolate in bits and pieces for me is great. A fun size mini bar, one candy after a healing is great. But to eat a whole Snickers bar or eat a whole Hershey's bar for me, does things with my blood sugar. So once again, in moderation. Brooke, do you want to address this?
Absolutely. I personally love Dove dark chocolates for that particular reason, because it's just a tiny little square and it balances you out. I find that it feeds the higher bodies. But I do want to talk a little bit about people who feel uncomfortable eating chocolate, or especially eating meat. Chocolate, not so much. People can go, oh, okay, yeah, absolutely, I can do chocolate. A lot of people have an issue about eating meat. Well, one from the perspective of, you know, thinking that they're taking another life, that people get very scared about that, or feel like they don't want to cause any harm. So there's a really great and easy way of being able to actually take the meat into your body that you need. And it's honestly by just thanking the animal for giving its life, asking that it gives a higher rebirth, and sending that energy in through the meat. I learned that from a great teacher. And that makes a big difference. You actually get to bless the soul of the animal. An animal won't be killed unless karmically it is set up to actually offer its life that way. So to assume that it's, you know, eating meat is a bad thing and that you're not supposed to do it from that perspective is really actually going to be detrimental not only to your own physical health, but it will actually also take away the offering that animal has to give to you.
That's beautiful.
Okay.
I do have one question, though, because I have been told by a number of teachers that when you take red meat, like specifically red meat, that it actually closes your crown chakra. But
And listen, nothing closes any chakra.
Thank you.
Nothing closes any chakra. Now, you can pollute every chakra. I mean, having sex with people's permission. I wish people were as conscious about what comes out of their mouth as what goes into their mouth. You can do verbal terrorism. You can be a gossip, and you can ruin people's reputations and still not eat meat. So there's been many, many types of books, blood type books, where certain blood types need meat and certain blood types don't. Specific times in your life, you will or you won't. There is really, Rachel, most things you eat, there's nothing right or wrong with them. It's what's appropriate.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Another one little piece I'd like to add to that is that if you believe something's going to shut you down, it will. If you don't, you know, if you have a belief that it will keep you open, it will. You know, your belief systems really do structure a lot of different things. So if you allow yourself to hear the truth and take in truth and change your belief systems, you'll actually do yourself a world of good.
And there are very few things on this planet that are against us, as far as plants and animals, well, mostly other humans, but there are very few things that are against us. For every disease that is out there, the old teachers told me there is an herb or plant that heals it. So nothing is really energy, plant, or part of the earth is against you. And if you believe so, it will be. Most things are there for lessons, to nurture you, to give you shade, to clear the earth. Okay. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you.
Hi, you're on with Brooke and Star.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Do you have a question for us?
Yes, I do. My name's Tammy. And my mother had a stroke about a month ago, and I am debating whether or not I should go to Florida to take care of her. And that's kind of my question.
Okay, Brooke, why don't you start?
Okay, so she had a stroke a month ago. How is she able to take care of herself at all, or is it complete care that she needs?
Right now she needs complete care. She's in a rehab hospital right now, but after that we're not sure where she's going to go, so I'm not quite sure how to help her.
My first question
First of all, I got a question for you. Are you a caretaker? Have all your life have you taken care of kids, your brothers, your sisters, your somebody? Yes or no?
I'm a nurse by profession, so I always take care of people.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you something. No. You have brothers and sisters, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and how much caretaking have they done of the family? Mm-hmm. I can hear that answer.
A couple of my sisters are more than others, but yeah, most of them are not as caretaking.
Okay, for your spiritual growth, for your highest good, let this go upon somebody who is not a caretaker. Now, your family, your friends have, every time there's been a problem, you've jumped in, you've taken care of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
No, for your highest good right now, somebody else should be taking care of your mother. Brooke?
I agree with that piece, to be perfectly honest. And another piece on it, truly, is that when you actually work as a caretaker all the time, that is actually one of the things that you wind up doing because you didn't feel like you were cared for enough when you were little, usually. So I think it would be brilliant if you give an opportunity for your brothers or sisters to actually step up and be able to be of service to your mother. I think there's some good pieces for them to heal in that, and you'd be taking away a life lesson from them.
Remember, you are a healer, not a caretaker. Thank you, Penny.
Thank you.
And Brooke, what is your website?
My website is www.creationcenter.org.
And we can be with you.
Hi, you're on with Star.
Hello?
Hello? They're listening to the radio. Hello?
Hi, you're on with
Star. Okay.
Well, I keep on bringing people online. They're not coming on.
Okay, those were all psychic questions. The first question was, no way, not ever. And the second question was, you need more information than you have to make that decision. Next. Okay, wow. I have a great website, www.starfuentes.com, and Master Your Light for a bunch of free games and things that I have created to move you through your lessons, masteryourlight.com. Book, what else would you like to say today?
You know, you talked a bit about downloads, which I love doing, and there's some really great things that you can do now because of the web to get downloads that are phenomenal. And I think one of the great things you can do is buy yourself one of those books that's like 1,000 places to see before you die, and literally just run your hands down the page of each picture, and you can get a download from that from the place. Then you can also just go on to YouTube and check out those places on YouTube and start getting some of the downloads that are offered from holy sites. It's not quite the same as putting your feet on the ground and, you know, smelling the sweet flowers, but it really does give you a huge download. And what's fun is you can also ask, from every lifetime I've had in this place, bring me back the wealth of information into this now moment so I can be of greater service. And you will be amazed at how much you can wind up actually bringing in to be able to be of even greater service.
And you know, watching masters on video, watching spiritual teachers, and I could just going to make another comment here. Sometimes we do things, and we do things for our spirit guides and for our angels. And who wants to sit through another class on chakras? But you find yourself going to that, and your spirit guides talk to the spirit guide of another person, and there's this whole thing because each of us are carrying 4 or 5 spirit guides, a couple angels. So you imagine, whenever you walk into a room, you're like 8-fold to 40-fold, and everything's communicating. So the minute you look at a video from somebody, one of your spirit guides or angels runs over there and says, oh, Star and Book are interested in you. What do they have to learn for you? Is this going to be profitable? Is this going to be a good lesson? Is this a great waste of our time, or is this a great energy, efficient thing for us to do? And your spirit guides, your angels, go do what I call research. And sometimes there's nothing for you to learn. There's everything for your spirit guides to connect to help you with your next lesson. So take it, I have a class, and it's, I don't remember what it's called, Great Spiritual People, Spiritual People in History, I think it's called. And it goes through all masters. It goes through people like Mesmer, Joan of Arc, and we mention the name, we take 3 seconds, and we move on. I think we cover 1,000 people or 800 people, something like that. I had to keep cutting it shorter because people got really, really burnt out taking down Einstein and, Galileo and Michelangelo and all that stuff. But sometimes you just breathe the name in. And if I've done the work on the history of this person or the biography of this person, you sit in the room with me or you watch my video or listen to my CD, you get that information. You get that as a caught teaching or a download. And you can get it also by looking at people one time. About 6 months ago, maybe longer, Skype did something. And it did something to their technology. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing auras. I'm seeing downloads on Skype. And before, whatever it was doing, they weren't coming through as strong. But now Skype is amazing. Whatever technology they're using, it's very impressive to me who sees colors and me who sees downloads. Brooke, is there anything else you'd like to add? We have about 3 more minutes.
Actually, I'd love to hear how you create sacred space. We covered how I create it. I'd love to hear your version.
Okay, please repeat that because I went off into another dimension.
How do you create sacred space for your healing room?
Well, the first thing I do to create sacred space for my healing work is I create a vortex and just take everything out that's not holy. Most of my healing work is done in a church that's already been there for 27 years. So it's gone through 4 or 5 different types of spiritual and religious people. So there's all sorts of wonderful energy. I think the first thing for sacred space is clear out anything in the space that's not in the highest good of all concern. I bring my teachers, and I imagine, poof, 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 pop, 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 just like in a movie, that my teachers, Esperanza, Kukuyaya, all my teachers gather and circle me. And so all of their presence are there. And I always leave the space in that circle on one side, for the unknown teachers. And these are the teachers of my teachers. These are the teachers of the person who's coming. That sometimes, like when a class or students come or healers come, there is a theme, and that theme may be sexual abuse, that theme may be being a victim or a caretaker, and sometimes a master comes that's a master at changing that. So this is the first two things. The only other thing that I didn't hear you mention, Brooke, on your altar was something that's alive. I have plants or flowers in the room with me. So I know you do. I always have flowers in the church or plants near me because something alive is important in the sacred space. And then I do most similarly to you the same things, which I don't find odd, but comforting.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing.
All right. And thank you for being with me.
Oh, my pleasure.
Good night, everybody.
My pleasure.
Okay. Do we have a phone call or is it the end?
It's the end.
All right. Thank you, everybody. And please connect with Brooke or I.
On behalf of Spiritual Connections Radio, thank you for listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Please join us again next week for another enlivening episode. For more information on Star's classes or services, visit her website at www.starfuentes.com or call the office at 501-609-0660. That's 501-609-0660.
All right, thank you.